Hello all, welcome to Up the podcast made by the fans, for the fans. Grab yourself a drink, put your feet up and listen in. And by the way, there could be some strong language.
Hello everybody. And welcome to Up the Poshcast, or as it may be the case, Down the Poshcast. We are recording after yet another shambolic Peterborough United performance. And just to warn you, Dale does an intro where we say there may be some swearing in this episode. I'll change that may to almost definitely going to be some swearing in this episode. Posh have lost 3-1, continued our terrible away form. We were absolutely shit. Tonight, we've got Ash on, we've got Del on, we've got Charlie on, we've got Harry on, and we've got myself, John. Ash, take it away. What on earth have we just witnessed?
Well, I think before I start talking about the game or pass to somebody else to talk about the game, I think that it is important to address post-match. Obviously, Fergie came over, got very close. I was down the front, as I was for the whole 90 minutes, and he definitely could hear what he was saying and he was apologetic. And then ultimately Con Clark came over, and I would just like to say to Con Clark, thank you for coming over and listening, hearing the gripes, even if they were maybe shouty and aggressive. I think that you've shown, and yourself and obviously Carl Johnston, you've shown that you're probably the only two players on the pitch that have got a set of balls about you. Everybody else just completely spineless, stood on the edge of the 18-yard box. Nobody's going to start throwing things at you. Nobody's going to start like trying to swing for you and stuff like that. That's not what we do as Posh fans. But surely you now have to appreciate how desperate of a situation that we are in at the moment. And yeah, look, made a few headlines, haven't I? An irate fan, as you can see from my new caption. Disappointed more than anything, to be honest. I don't really know where to start with the game. It feels like the players are playing at 40%, and if they're going to play at 40%, then they're going to get 40% back from me. That's for sure.
Just on that, Ash, I've got to be honest, I wasn't aware of what was said, but if I'm totally honest, from being at the back looking through with your body language, it didn't really look a good look. And I had people walking down, fucking hell, he's your mate, go and have a word of him, whatever. I'm like, no, I ain't doing that. I just... You know, I'm not going to go down and stop you saying what you're saying. So, obviously, I'm now aware of what you were saying, the conversations went. So, initially, for a lot of us supporters at the back, we're looking at the back thinking, what the fuck's going on? Because, obviously, with you, your persona's quite strong, quite big, and it probably looked more aggressive than what it actually was. So, just for a peace of mind, what was actually said from yourself to the players? Because... You know, I think this is a good opportunity for you to actually say, to pot somebody, some of the disappointment from some other fans to rest, I suppose.
Yeah, look, so obviously they were stood far enough away that they couldn't hear me. And Con Clark, like I said, had the balls to come over. And my main gripe was with that we've got a leader on the pitch. He's wearing the captain's armband. He's taking it off of Sam Hughes when he came on. And he couldn't wait to get down the tunnel. Now, I think that purely it was a situation where Con Clark just ultimately couldn't hear me. So he's come over. Obviously, I'm shouting, trying to make sure that he can hear what I said. But we have a captain that is just so uninterested in being here. And that was the point that I was trying to get off. Like, the bloke couldn't wait to get off the pitch. Like, that surely if you're the leader, like, why have we given him the armband? I just don't understand it anymore. And that was the point, is that Con Clark couldn't hear me. He's come over. I'm trying to shout so that he can hear what I'm trying to say, because he obviously couldn't understand me. And yeah, that there wasn't really much in it, to be honest. Obviously, CJ came over as well to sort of speak and clap as well. So you can only be grateful for those sorts of things. But yeah, I mean, that from my side, there really wasn't much on it. I didn't say anything. I didn't say anything nasty, that's for sure.
Yeah, I was stood next to Ash, actually, and just to clarify, Ash didn't really say a lot apart from go back and tell Cipriani that that's not good enough. Con Clark then said, we're in a rut and we need to stick together. But it's becoming increasingly difficult, I think, to stick together with this Peterborough United team. And it was summed up today by Hector Cipriani, who was a coward. just go fuck off to your next club now. He was good last season. I've defended Hector Kyprianou. I've wanted him back in this team. I think he's got a decent footballer. I think he's a quality player and leagues above some of the players that are in the reserves in this squad. But walking off down the tunnel in what possibly is your last ever Peterborough United appearance, you know, we're the club that gave him that chance. You think you'd have a tad of respect to the fans that really picked you up when the Leighton Orient fans couldn't wait to get rid of you. We're giving you that platform to get your move to the Championship, and you don't even have the decency to come over and clap 500 fans that have travelled 3 hours to Bristol on a Sunday afternoon to watch the shower of shit that is Peterborough United at the minute. Now, piss off, good riddance, see you later. And it's no wonder that the standards have slipped to this level if that's the captain. That's your standard setter. Nah, get lost.
You know what? I didn't want to put you on the spot there, Ash, but I feel it was important that we, you know, that the people hear what was said. They hear both sides of the story rather than just the irate fan, the thingy. So, you know, let's move on to the game a bit. I'm with everything you said there about, you know, the captain, like, not giving a shit and half the players not looking like they're giving a shit. And, you know, you'll see from my ratings tomorrow, I've rated them based on their performances of what I feel, because it was fucking embarrassing. It was, you know, there's a journalist who works for Bristol Rovers, and he's come out and he said it's one of the worst away performances he's seen from a team there in his time covering the club. That is embarrassing. You know, he's been there 3-4 years, and that's the worst fucking performance he's seen from a away team. Well, let me tell you something else. I've been going for many, many years, and I said Lincoln the other week was one of the worst performances I've ever seen from a Peterborough team. Well, today is probably fucking even top that. It's just awful. It is just, I just don't get it. You know, we're not even doing the basics right. I'll give one instance. I know we'll go on to players in a bit, but one instance with Odo, the fucking ball's going down towards the touchline. He's got plenty of time to get to it. He slows down and lets it go out for a fucking goal kick. What is all that about? You know, silly things like that. It's embarrassing. Nobody was really putting the shift in. I've been saying for quite a while now, when your luck's against you, it's against you. And yeah, we was having a little bit of luck, but we have to make your own luck. And today, wasn't putting ourselves in a position to make our own luck. Our passing was fucking atrocious. It was hitting hope. And do you know what? I'm fucking so wound up about it. As you say, we've all gone down on a Sunday, wasted our Sunday. Well, we're not wasting it. It's what we do. It's what our supporters do. We go and spend the day following our team through thin, thick and fucking even more thin at the moment. But all I want is my team to give something back. You know, players come over and like fucking, you know, thank us for going down, not fucking off down the touchline. Fair play to Fergie. Yeah, he come over and he was like fucking whatever he wants to do, but it's just not good enough. It really is not good enough. We got an opportunity on Wednesday to get to the final. I don't even know if I want to fucking go, but anyway, we'll worry about Wednesday in a little while. But overall, the game was awful. I don't know how we could be that bad, because Bristol Rovers were fucking shocking themselves. Do you know what I mean? There's a reason why they're down the bottom. And looking at them, there's a reason why, mate, if we can't even perform against them, what chance? We have got no fucking chance of staying up. I've been saying for weeks now that we're in a relegation battle, and we clearly are. And let anybody come at me and say that we're not, because we fucking well are. Anyway, I've ranted enough.
Yeah, I was at Lincoln. I think that this performance was a bit more worrying from a relegation perspective, because I know you said that a lot of players are putting in enough effort and Ash thought they were playing at 40%. My worry is that for some of these players, they did put in as much as they're capable of and were still pumped by one of the worst teams in this league in Bristol Rovers. No particular disrespect to them. I think that one of the problems I highlighted after Lincoln happened today, where once again, there were no midfield options when a centre-back received the ball. So he had to pass it out to the fullback. And Tayo can deal with that most of the time and can either get it forward or make a good pass into the midfield. But CJ often found himself isolated, had his one option to Odo, and Odo would then just do quite literally nothing with it. It was, I hate to strongly dig out players, but it was one of the worst performances I've ever seen from a Posh player ever today from Odo. I think he beat his man once and then lost it later on in the same move. Other than that, it was consistently backwards. He missed simple passes inside. He let the ball run out for a goal kick, as Dale mentioned. It was extremely painful. But then in the second half, we had Motherseal and Hayes come on. And look, to be honest, I don't agree with the assessment that these guys aren't putting in the maximum effort. I don't think Motherseal is good enough to be whinging every time another player attempts to pass to him and it isn't quite accurate. And I don't think Hayes is getting enough support when he makes his runs inside, because he has got two options when he does these, what are pretty good dribbles: go round or cut inside. And he cut inside literally 90% of the time, had to either shoot or pass it across the box. There was never a single line breaking run from the fastest player in the world, Ricky, or from Con Clark coming out of the midfield and into the box. So he just had to have hit and hope shots, or just pass it across to Archie, who would, or Kyprianou, or whoever was there, and it never went anywhere. So it's a little bit of a ramble, but my concern is that it's not effort that's the problem here. It's that fundamentally these players aren't good enough, and if they're not good enough to even lay a glove on Bristol Rovers, I think we're close to talking about going down here, if I'm being honest.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a fair assessment, Harry. There were three things from today that really irked me, watching on the telly, not being at the ground, so I had the benefit of replays and stuff. And the first one was the moaning. You sort of mentioned it there from Malik, the whinging, but just from in general, the way that our players just get so frustrated with each other. It's like 10 minutes into a game, it's nil-nil, it's end-to-end. There's a big atmosphere. It's, you know, an intense game. And our players, just one mistake and their heads go and they start moaning at each other. And I mean, our captain, you know, Hector the Protector, more like Hector the Deflector, because he never takes blame for anything. None of the players ever take blame for anything. They always try and blame their mistakes on others. I mean, how are you going to improve as a footballer if you can't take credit, like, you know, take the blame for putting a pass straight out of play and try and blame someone else for that? And it's happened so many times this season where you see people just make simple mistakes and not own up to it. I don't understand why. Take some accountability. You're a professional footballer. That's my first big gripe. My second one is the attackers. And I mentioned this, I think, on the last two episodes, and I mentioned it on my Twitter as well this morning. We have now scored 8 goals in our last 10 games. We keep getting told that we are this team that are just unreal going forward and that our attackers are more than good enough and it's our defenders that are the problem. But I'm not sure I agree with that anymore. I think our attackers are just as bad as the defence, to be honest with you. We were given free rein to just run at a Bristol Rovers backline that looked largely slow and looked like it was full of gaps and there for the taking. And we did nothing. We hardly penetrated it. When we did, we were wasteful in front of goal. So this supposedly excellent front line we have, we're not scoring goals. We're not creating chances. We look so devoid of quality. I mean, I went and watched Boston versus Peterborough in pre-season this year, and Boston had better attacking quality than we've shown over the last 10 games. It's been awful. In fact, I lino'd a game for the Peterborough Academy this morning, and they had more quality than what we saw away at Bristol Rovers. It's simple stuff, and we have not been good enough at it. And then the third one is, and I called him out by name after Lincoln, and I'll do it again here, Paul Gerrard. Sack him, please, Dara. Sack him, please, Fergie. I don't know what remit that comes under, but he's a goalkeeping coach. One of his primary responsibilities is to deal with defensive set pieces. And what happened today, after 20 minutes of the game, we concede one of the sloppiest set piece goals ever. We're not picking up our men. The way that we set up to defend makes no sense. We've got big players. We've got players that are physically strong enough. We've got Sam Hughes in the middle, who should be winning pretty much anything. What are we doing? How is this guy still in a job? He's an absolute fraud. And it's either him, not, I mean, it's his fault either way, because either his tactics are rubbish or he's rubbish at conveying his tactics to the players, because they obviously don't get it. We're conceding set pieces. We never did this last season under Ali, I think his name was. It was never this bad. he's got to go.
Yeah, I mean, while we're talking to people, they've got to go. Who scouted Abraham Odo? Hands up, because you need to get gone. You should never work in football again. The guy should not be a professional footballer. He is useless. I'm sick to death of Abraham Odo. And I don't really... Look, I'm on Harry's side. There's some dross in this team. Con Clark's doing nothing. He looks like a non-league player playing in League One. George Nevitt's an 18-year-old kid at the back. They at least look like they're trying. Odo is the Venn diagram of shit. There's some players in this team that look like they don't want to be here that are actually good players. Hector Kipriano, you could probably put in that category. Ricky J. Jones probably is a League One player to an extent. Looks like he can't really be asked at the minute. And then you've got the players that are trying, but perhaps aren't quite up to the level, like Con Clark, like George Nevitt. Abraham Odo, like I say, fits in that Venn diagram of just shit on both sides. Doesn't look like he can be asked, and he's a terrible footballer. So whoever scouted him, just go, please, hold your hand up, say, look, I'm not very good at my job, and leave the football club, because you cannot be trusted to sign any player ever again. He is one of the worst players I've ever seen play for my team, and he's not fit to wear the shirt. And if he touches grass again this season, Fergie needs going as well, because he's lost his marbles. And I'm sick to death of this football team. There's some really bad players in it, and I do want to call him out, because I'm sick of this. And Odo is right at the front of that queue. Absolutely useless.
Yeah, just on Odo, I've actually, whether or not it will be released, I've actually given Odo a minus fucking rating because he was that shit. You know, he really should not have been on the fucking pitch. Week in, week out, he's getting worse and worse and worse. And what is really concerning is the fact that he is actually starting games. You know, it shows how fucking shit the rest of our players are if, you know, we're starting Odo. It's shit. And I just want to really go back to what Charlie said a minute ago about the players complaining about each other. It's fucking disgusting. You can only start complaining about players when you've got your own fucking house in order. Ricky is one of the biggest fucking moaners. Oh, fucking throwing his arms all over the place. Mate, get your fucking own ass in order. Start putting the fucking work in, and then you can moan at people when the ball don't come to where it should go. Until then, shut the fuck up and get on with doing your own job. Right. Odo, shit. Most of the other players, shit. A whole game a day, shit. I don't even know what else to say about the game apart from it's fucking embarrassing. I spent most of the time sat on my ass on the back row, leaning over the middle, just fucking laughing with the Bristol Rovers fans because they was taking a piss out of us. And you know what? They had every fucking right to take the piss out of us because we are a fucking embarrassment at the moment.
Yeah, I think that is the word, embarrassing. Fergie said after Lincoln that the fans are wasting their time going to games, and I think it's getting to that point. You know, we've had Bristol Rovers today. We've got Stevenage away. We've got Charlton away. We've got Huddersfield away this month. Why would you go? Why would you go? I mean, I know people will say, you know, support the team, and I get that. And you probably and they do need our support in this time. And there's people like Dell and Ash, I know, that will be there regardless because that's what they do. But I mean, it's getting difficult. It is becoming a very difficult product. And the shiny things aren't even shiny anymore. And I think that's the annoying thing. I was so excited about Gustav, you know, our little striker from Sweden who was going to come in and score 15 goals in the second half of the season and be our saviour. And he's not very good, I don't think. And that's really annoying me because he's done very little in every league game he's played. He sold us a dream against Walsall. He missed an absolute stinker of a chance. I mean, I still don't know whether he's right or left footed because he seems not to be able to do much with either. He's done some nice things, don't get me wrong, but he's lost his shine. It's the same with CJ. I think that he's I like him because of his passion, but I don't think he's that good of a footballer. Even Sam Hughes today look like sort of that three-game energy boost that you get when you sign someone has worn off and that he's going to just be that lower-end League One defender that we thought he would be. There's nothing... It's getting to the point where there was always saving graces in this squad. Even up until Christmas, there was always a couple of players that you knew were going to excite you. You know, it was Poku. You know, Ricky was looking exciting. Collins was still playing well. You know, there were good players in every position. And it's now getting to the point where there just aren't. Poku's injured. He might go before the deadline. We don't know what's going to happen there. And it's just, there's nothing to be excited about in this team. And I don't understand. John spoke about scouting. I don't understand how we've put together a squad where there is nothing to be excited about. And today, that game, nothing excited me. Nobody excited me. Nobody I thought played well. Malik was probably the only honourable mention because he did okay. And even that was a very much a subpar performance for a top-end League One attacker. It was just dismal.
Yeah, there are. I think that there are a few players that I actually am starting to feel a little bit sorry for here, and I'm probably going to go through them and we can talk about them. George Nevitt's probably the first one. We asked him to be physical. He was. He goes up for a header. He gets booked for it. I don't know what more else the bloke can do. And then ultimately, I actually felt that he was hung out to dry by Fergie. He would have been a sub that I would have made at half time. Would have been bringing Oscar Volin on. And this is where I'm really stuck at the moment, because I don't want to blame Fergie. I think that the players have been nowhere near the standard that they expect of themselves. But when you're leaving an 18-year-old lad, 19-year-old lad on the pitch on a booking, he basically couldn't stick a foot in for the rest of the game. It was like the 20th minute when he got booked, wasn't it? And then he can't do the things that defenders are expected to do. Why have we left him on until like the 80th minute? And then the player that we bring on, Jadel Katonga, well, I thought he was out for 3 weeks with a hamstring issue. The irony is we bring him on the pitch and then he gets injured in the cooldown and now he's done for another 2 months. Really, like this all goes back to how just completely muddied and just shit everything is at the football club at the moment, in that we've got players just constantly injured. They're going down like flies. They don't want to be here. And then to go back to the players that feel like we've been hung out to dry, I do really feel for Gustav at the moment. He's just getting nothing, is he? And ultimately, yes, he did miss a massive chance. I tweeted that if Ricky misses that, it's a disaster and everybody goes for him. Lods quote tweeted it and said that if Malik misses that, everybody goes for him. Does Gustav have credit in the bank because he's a new signing and he's blending in? Maybe he does, but ultimately the service to him since he's played in the Walsall game has been absolutely diabolical. And he only has his teammates to blame for that. Unfortunately, with the way that we're playing at the moment, you only get one chance. And he scuffed that chance at 0-0. If we go 1-0 up, who knows what happens? Do you know what? It's just very, very, very disappointing, because there are good players on that pitch. Like, all the other lads have said, there are good players on this pitch. It just really isn't working at the moment.
So we've focused a lot on the players so far, but I also want to focus a little bit on Darren Ferguson, because I keep saying I'm sat on the fence and I'm still sat on the fence, but today pushed me further towards out, if I'm honest. He's making decisions that are just really strange, one of which is the Oddo starting over Hayes. I don't get it. Everyone saw the team shooter starting lineup and went, what are we doing? And then we saw 45 minutes of the same rubbish from Oddo. But I don't want to focus on that again. Never again, you brought up Ash. He needed to come off at half time. He was getting bullied. Just take him off. Why do it at 2-0 down and be so reactive? Be proactive. The game was gone when Fergie took him off and it was too late. And then I look at the defenders he's recruited. And this is the point I've been making on recent episodes, when we've played at home and we look more solid at home, but we don't necessarily look a better football team for it. And we've conceded 8 goals in our last away games. And part of the problem is, because Fergie seemingly is the one who's recruited these defenders, they're not fit for his system. Like, Sam Hughes can't pass a ball. So every time it goes into him, he gives it away, or he just can't retain possession as we need him to. Carl Johnston, I love the way he defends, but he can't pass. He can't go forward. There was a stage in the second half where he got it on the edge of the box and he looked like a little boy lost and just gave it away. And I'm so concerned that what we've done is we've tried to mitigate our weakness, which was obviously defending. We were leaking goals, and we've tried to make ourselves, all we've thought about with the players that we've recruited is getting them in because they can defend. But now we can't play football. We can't play our football. And Fergie is still trying to build out from the back. We're still knocking it around the back line at a slow tempo, giving it out to the right back in Carl Johnston, who then get pressed because he's not good enough on the ball to get us out of the press. And we give the ball away, or we put ourselves under pressure. Our goalkeeper can't play football. Bilakapic has made an excellent save and he's still a good shot stopper. We say this all the time. But at ball at feet, he is Sunday league level. He's terrible. He can't play in the system. And it's like Fergie has forgotten what our strengths were and gone to mitigate the weakness so much. And now I actually think we're a worse football team for it. We were picking up more points in the first 10 games of the season where we looked terrible at the back than we have over the last 10 games where we've looked better at the back, but not any good going forward. I think we've actively made ourselves a worse football team by doing what we did in January. There's a reason that Sam Hughes couldn't get a game in a team that were playing in League Two last season. This is not the standard we need for Peterborough United. I'm so frustrated. It's like we've forgotten all our identity as a football club in January just because we were leaking goals. The club said that they wanted to be specific with the players they recruited because they needed to fit the system and we're not going to go out and get anyone. But that's what they've done. They've gone and got anyone. And now we've got, for want of a better term, and I don't mind Eden, but effectively three cloggers at the back and we look like a dreadful football team.
Yeah, and I've just worked out the numbers in the five games that we've had Sam Johnston and Teo are done at the back. 1.8 goals a game we are conceding. Yes, that does include two clean sheets, but ultimately Leighton Orient didn't look like they were much of a threat and Wigan were fucking dreadful, weren't they, on Tuesday night? They could have played for another 90 minutes and probably wouldn't have scored a goal. When you compare that to the previous 24 league games, we conceded 46, I think it is, which is 1.92 goals a game. So these defenders that we've brought in that are meant to have made us better have made us 0.12 goals conceded better. Like, when you lose, and like John says, you lose all of the attacking threat, what's the point? What's the point in playing them? They're not helping us defend better. We're still conceding goals in just as quick a rate as we are. So let's mix it up. Let's just go all out attack and just start scoring goals again, because that's the issue. The defence is poor. I think that we need to accept that. Let's just go out and try and beat teams properly and beat them at our own game and play properly.
Well, I guess the conundrum and problem here is that the way in which we won games either last season or earlier this season, and it is in line with Fergie's philosophy, is to play out the back. And I think one of the main reasons we're not playing out the back properly is actually not because of the defenders as much as it is the midfielders not making themselves available. Nevitt is having to make aggressive, like way more aggressive passes than Ronnie had to attempt to make last season in trying to progress. Like often, you know, almost dragged, whipped passes all the way to the halfway line, which he didn't always, obviously weren't always successful. But the fact that he's having to be so aggressive with his choices, again, is a bit of a damning indictment on where the midfielders are. Where are Sissoko and Collins or Kipriani when he's on the pitch for that easier pass to for Hughes or for Nevitt or for one of the fullbacks? And once they have got it, because occasionally they did, where is the next pass? I think that some of the work that needs to be done is among Conclark, Sissoko and Collins, because while I don't think there was an issue with effort going forward from any of them particularly, in terms of the early build-up, they are not there right now. Like, they are not getting back deep enough to be able to offer that build-out because we don't any longer have a Ronnie to do a body feint to create space. Like, that is gone now. You're going to be more predictable building up. And the way to solve that problem is just have a bit more narrow and more men available in that earlier phase. It means working a bit harder getting up the field. If you want to stay on the ground, that is. Because I think the much more appropriate option for this team is to be a bit more direct. I don't think, someone correct me, did Bilo kick the ball long once all game today from goal kicks? I think every single one out, and of course this is going to be a tactical decision, was to pass to a defender. And that, when it's not working, is immediately making it more and more difficult for us. Additionally, I brought this up earlier, but again, in terms of the lack of inventiveness in the the actual final third, we've got some threat with Hayes. Hayes can dribble, he can create some space, but somebody needs to do a line-breaking run, or it needs to be more clear whether he's going to have an overlapping fullback. And if it's not going to be CJ, a midfielder should be going out there to take the cross. On the other side, I think Tayo is pretty good both defensively and going forward. We should utilise that. We've essentially finally solved, as far as we can, the missing Burrows issue. He's decent at crosses. Let's try and utilise him a bit more. Don't be afraid to push him further up the field. Even if that means the midfielder needs to drop in a bit more behind him. Like, let's allow him to be as aggressive as possible going forward. And finally, look, I think there needs to be better pressing across the front line. Ricky does it on his own. Maybe 80% is what he was doing before. Why does no one else get involved in the press? Bristol Rovers did it to every single one of our defenders every time possible. And Lincoln did it every time possible last weekend. Like, where is the collective? Like, where's your trigger for three of you running in one direction to make the three easiest passes, like, gone as choices for their centre-backs? Because that's what they do to us. Why can't we do that to other teams? Are we so incapable of working together? I think that's about it from me. For what it's worth, because I think, John, you mentioned earlier that you weren't impressed with Con Clark. I actually think there's a decent creative spark there. I think that he wasn't as precise as he's capable of today in some of his passes, but the ideas were there. I got taken the piss out of for saying that Randall has Premier League vision. Well, I think Con Clark's got a good enough League One vision right now and could probably have even more. His execution wasn't quite there today on every occasion, but he's certainly not one we should be digging out. I think that some of the attack needs to be built up through him more aggressively as well. Him and Hayes are the two focal points that need to be built around. Other players need to react to them as the main creative outlets going forward.
I think what's important about what we've just been speaking about is we have criticised the team. We have criticised the individual players. We've had said what we think was wrong. We've also sort of said what we'd like to do to try and improve it. What we do need to do is, well, not we, because we can't control it, is the players need to get back into, whilst we were still like not winning or conceding goals at the beginning of the season, we looked a bit of a joy to watch. We was doing a pressing from Ricky J. Jones. You know, you had Malik Mothersill was like doing something. He was like, when was the last time we saw him sort of like cutting past a couple of players successfully in the last few weeks? We haven't. He was doing that quite well at the start of the season. So they need to up their game a bit. They need to stop moaning about each other. And we just need to sort of, I don't know, all come together as all of us, players, supporters, fucking management, whatever. You know, we really need to pull together now, not against each other. And just, if you want to play for the team, that's fine. Get there, put the effort in. If you don't want to play for the team, fuck off and go and get your move elsewhere, you know, because we put our money in week in, week out. That's our choice. You know, we could choose not to, but as players, we need to be putting the effort in. If we went to work and didn't put the effort in, we wouldn't get paid. We'd get sacked. It should be no different to fucking players. So pull your fucking fingers out. Start doing what you know you can all do, because you're all professional footballers. You're all like playing for Peterborough United for a reason. You know, show us your fucking, show us what your worth is. And so let's see what we can do for the next few games.
Well, we do have, at the time of recording, 25 and a bit hours left of the transfer window. Don't know how busy Posh are going to be. Dara seems to be on TalkSport and Sky, which would indicate that perhaps we're not expecting a particularly busy deadline day. Ash, tilt me through how many signings you want to add to this team, if you want anyone, or if there's any players that you want to leave before the window closes.
Yeah, look, signings, I'm not sure who's going to want to come to this Posh team. I'm not going to sure who's going to want to join them, but there's plenty of players that I'd be happy to get rid of at the moment. Cipriano can go. Manny Fernandez, why are we loaning him back? Why is he struggling to agree personal terms with a championship team? Like, surely they're giving him more money. Like, stop being so greedy. You've got to earn your stripes. And quite frankly, he hasn't at the moment. I'm sure that he'll be a fantastic defender in the future, but how can you be so greedy? Like, take the chance. Ricky can go. Otto, he can go. Get rid of him. He needs to go back down to National League. Bring back Adjaboy. That's the signing that we need to make. Who else would I like to see go? I think that's it, to be honest. But who do we bring in? I honestly don't know. But yeah, as you've seen, Chaz has just got very excited. Maybe David Adjaboy is our saviour.
I think one of the problems we've got is that we have at least three of the Lee Tomlin situation here in the building. Like, just the reference is that obviously Lee Tomlin wanted to leave on deadline day, wasn't allowed to go, and then got three red cards in the next half of the season and then moved to Middlesbrough rather than Celtic. And I think we've got three of those who wanted to go in the summer, in Kyprianou, Poku and Ricky, and none of them were allowed to leave. Understandably, right? We sold a lot of players already and we didn't want to completely decimate the team. But that problem is clearly permeated all throughout. Like, I accept Poku was very, very good while he wasn't injured. Kyprianou is nowhere near the level he was last season, and Ricky is nowhere near the level he was last season. And with that in mind, I do think we should let both go if we get offers for them. I'm wary of commenting on the Manny Fernandez situation more than we've had. And so what I'm about to say is pure speculation, but I can't help but wonder whether he doesn't want to come back here on loan. And that's the thing that's maybe holding up the deal. Of course, I have nothing to back that up, and I could be completely wrong, and it could be purely on personal terms. But in any case, I think that deal gets over the line. I hope that Kyprianou can get out the door. I actually hope that Ricky can get out the door. And Poku, I don't want to see leave, but if we get money for him, given that he's had a surgery on his hamstring at, 23 years old or whatever he is, I think it's worth doing, personally, if it's a decent amount of money. With that in mind, we'd probably need at least three signings to replace those four. Can we get that all over the line tomorrow? I mean, we're going to see. But it's going to be damn hard. In that situation, I'd bring Adjaboy back.
Yeah, look, let's chuck. I'm fully game for chucking Romany Critchlow in. The one interesting thing that I do want to say on the Manny Fernandez thing is that our head analyst has gone to Norwich, and all of a sudden they're then linked with Manny Fernandez. So I don't know whether he's managed to offer them something, and they've gone, yeah, this is great. Let's sign this massive centre back that can win every header. But you know, it's just a little bit of an interesting link that sort of came out of nowhere, ultimately.
Yeah, I mean, if the head analyst has done that, then fair play to him. That's his final little parting gift to us, is that he gets rid of Manny, yes. I think, listen, the Ephraim Mason-Clark situation last year, where we let him go on deadline day and we loaned him back in, he was a shadow of his former self before that point. After that point, sorry. And he was really good. If Manny gets worse than he was before because he's thinking about his championship move and we loan him back in, then we could be looking... He won't even be a footballer at that point. He'll just be a lamppost, because I don't understand how we think loaning him back in, when we saw what it did to the mindset of Mason Clark. I think all of us probably would agree that, you know, loaning back Mason Clark and losing 800 grand, probably in terms of the long term, was not a great investment. He wasn't the same player. Why would we do the same thing for Manny when we could? First of all, I probably wouldn't put him in my top three centre backs. I reckon I would prefer Sam Hughes, Nevitt, and Wallin over Manny, to be honest with you. And second of all, I think his head would be completely elsewhere. And if it is purely speculative that he doesn't want to come back on loan, then he's not going to be any good anyway. And then I also agree, I mean, getting Adjaboy back is a fantastic idea. I'm all for that. You know, Newport, I saw they've been playing as a number nine. Very weird. I mean, bring him home. He's much better than Adoh, let's be honest there. At least he has a bit of quality. And I agree with you guys on Ricky and Kyprianou as well, because first of all, I actually think Sissoko this season is better than Kyprianou anyway. I mean, yes, it will leave us a bit light in the midfield area, but you know, Donny O'Brien, Brady and De Havilland are okay backup options if all we're trying to do is just stay in the league. And then Ricky J. Jones, I think it was probably prepared for him to go. I don't think we need him massively. I think, you know, he's a good body to have, but we have, you know, in terms of strikers, Gustav and Bradley. In terms of left wingers, we have Malik, Ado, we have Kean Hayes and Poku on the right. So we have two players in each position. And then obviously if we bring back Ajiboy, which isn't going to happen, but we can dream, then we'd have even more. And I guess, you know, selling those players would free up some funds for us to maybe do something on deadline day. I'm in complete agreement. I think we get rid of as many of them as we can now, because also I think if Ricky and Hector have similar second halves of the season to they've had now, you know, their stock is going to plummet massively anyway.
Do you know what? If the rumours are true about, what's his name? Manny going to Norwich, and the stumbling block are that he doesn't want to come back. Well, news for you, Manny, we don't fucking want you back, mate. Fuck off, get gone, stay gone, if that's the way it is. So that's that. As far as, it was Harry, you said a little while ago about Tomlin, you know, where we had this fiasco about him going to Celtic. It didn't happen. He got some red cards, wouldn't play the second half of the game. I was never a fucking Tomlin fan, but I tell you what, the rest of them, the Rickies, the Hectors or whatever, can't even fucking tie shoelaces. You know what I mean? They are nowhere near the level of what Tomlin is, and they're trying to fucking engineer a move away. That just shows you the attitude of players nowadays. And the last thing I've got to say about this is, if we're getting excited and it's a dream to bring back fucking Dave Ajibo, whatever his name is, that is how far down we have gone. You know, because he couldn't even get a starting place and we're like begging him for him to come back. Fucking hell, you know, seriously, we've got some serious problems if that is the level of player that we're looking at. Don't get me wrong, I didn't mind him as a bit of an impact, but really, as a fucking getting him back off his loan, not for me.
I mean, I think we need some major repair work, but I also think it's too late. It's not going to happen, but I'm increasingly concerned that we're going down. I don't really see a way out of it. I think if we are to stay up, we probably need another central midfielder. I think we probably need an attacker somewhere along the front line that's good. And I think we probably need another centre-back if Manny does go to Norwich, especially with Katongo out, because I just can't trust Valin or Nevitt, to be honest, to be anywhere near League One standard. What I would say, and my final point in this, is I just want rid of anyone that doesn't want to be at Peterborough United. I'm at a stage now where, and I know our transfer policy has done us really well in the past, but I think we're seeing the negative side of it this season, where a lot of these players seem to have not got the moves they wanted, or to see Peterborough as a stepping stone club. And there isn't, to an extent, Posh is always going to be a stepping stone. No one dreams of growing up and playing for Peterborough, apart from maybe us five on this podcast tonight. But I don't want to see, this is my team and I care about them, and I want to see that reflected on the pitch. So if you don't want to be here, go. Good riddance. I don't want to see you wearing that shirt. And that is, I think, the policy that Fergie should take. This season is a write-off anyway. We're in the mud. We're in huge trouble. So if you're a player that's angling for a move, if you think you can do better than us, after, frankly, even, you know, last season was good, but ultimately a lot of this team have failed to get promoted twice when they probably had the quality to do it. We failed twice in two playoff campaigns. So they're not Peterborough United legends. There's no one in this team that you consider a Posh legend at this point. So if you want to go and you think you can do better, then, you know, go do that. Be ruthless. And we'll deal with whatever's left. I don't think there's enough quality in this team to keep us up at this point. I think we're probably going down, but at least we save ourselves a job next season. And I'd rather 11 players all pulling in the same direction than two or three of them out there at the minute who look like they just don't really want to be here.
No, I do completely agree with that. And it's a grim 17 games or so that we've got left, isn't it? I think they all look lost. You're saying about the five of us wanting to play. Crikey, I think that some of us could probably put in better performances than some of what we've seen this season, that's for sure.
So, next up is a Wednesday night game against Cheltenham. I don't know about you boys, but I actually could not give two shits about this game anymore. Partly because I don't care about the competition. Partly because I just think half these players do not deserve a trip to Wembley. It's an honour for a player and I don't really want to see them tarnishing the hallowed turf of Wembley. And another reason is because if we do get to Wembley, I think we'll lose. And I actually quite like our unbeaten record at Wembley and I like singing that chant. And I have no confidence that these boys would. And if we did get to Wembley and they put in a performance that won, I'd almost be more pissed off that they couldn't do that in the league anyway. So I'm of the opinion that, I don't know, the draw's been kind to us. We probably should beat Cheltenham at home. Does anyone care about this? I'll ask that as a question. Harry, do you actually care if we win or lose to Cheltenham on Wednesday night, given the situation we're in?
I'm happy to say that I didn't go to a single Bristol Street Motors game last season other than the final. And I have not been to a single Virtu Trophy game this season, and I won't be other than the final if we get there. Look, with that in mind, I'm thinking we don't pay a full strength team on Wednesday and that we just give a run out to a few of the squad players, whoever they may be at this point. But I don't think we will do that. I think we will play as strong as we can. I think we're going to have to as well to a certain extent because we're not able to play CJ, Hughes or Tayo. So it's going to have to be probably Wallen and Nevitt. It can't be Katongo. So I'm not even sure who we're going to play at the fullback positions. But at the same time, if we go out, I think it'll be a bit of a blessing just because these games only present a risk that more players get injured than anything else really at this point. Do we want to go back to Wembley for a second season in a row when we've got a relegation dogfight on our hands? I don't. Maybe others disagree.
No, do you know what? Fuck them. Fuck this competition. Going to Wembley is a reward. And do any of this squad deserve that reward at the moment? No, is the simple answer. Going back to the transfers, I've got a crazy idea. Can we take Ashley Young on loan? Let's get him in tomorrow. He can play he can get that dream game that he's got. Play the fucking under 18s, play the under 21s, stick Tyler Young and Ashley Young in the same team and let them have that fucking moment of history that they've got. Honestly, I love the Virtu BSM Papa John's LDV Johnson Paint Trophy. But right now, bigger fish to fry. Fuck the competition off. Play the kids. I know that there's some rules that you have to play. You have to keep like a certain number of the squad from the previous game that you've played in. But for all I care, put Mendonca in, put Eddie Fox in, bring back Ollie Rose from his loan at Scunthorpe and put him in for all I care. Fuck the competition off. We're in a relegation battle. And that's all that's important now, not the Virtu Trophy.
Well, I'm all for getting to Wembley because I think it's a good day out for the fans, etc., etc. But do you know what? John, you just made a right valid point, and as you followed it up is the fact that it's a reward for the players, you know. But then, having said all that, why should we let it ruin it for the fans? If we get to the final, fucking excellent. And I would go full strength. We've had a shit season. Let's see if we can actually do something to like keep us happy or keep the give us something to cheer about before the season finishes and maybe get a final.
You say that, though. Is the Virtu Trophy final? Is winning the Virtu Trophy, and Fergie mentioned it in his interview today, and it is a very real possibility, is winning the Virtu Trophy going to keep people in jobs? How can this be seen as even a remote possibility? I don't care about a day out. I don't care. I've had that last year. I've had that once every 10 years. I've had that experience. I don't need it again this year, because if we win against Cheltenham, we probably get Birmingham or Wrexham, and they're both going to fist us, aren't they? Don't stand a fucking cat in hell's chance. We might as well just bend over for them. Like, just absolutely embarrassed. So we may as well just do ourselves a favour and just have the embarrassing loss against Cheltenham, because I like lots of people at the club. I don't want anybody to lose their job. If anybody's going to be losing their job, it should be the players, shouldn't it? So just need to get us out of this competition now. ridiculous.
I will still disagree. I'll still go as far as we can. As far as, you know, people out of the job at the club, I agree. It should be the players. Fucking cut down your squad. Get rid of the fuckers. Bring the youngsters in. You know, that I feel for the likes of fucking Nevitt, if I'm honest, and Wallin, the youngsters that should not really be playing week in, week out. But anyway, we've gone right fucking off on a tangent. So, me, strong team, let's go out and win. Get to the semi-final. What will be, will be. We may be going to Wembley.
Right, let's do some predictions. Ashley, you're up.
I don't care. We can lose 3-0. That's my prediction. We lose 3-0. Fuck them all.
Yeah, I'm going 2-0 loss. We're shit. They beat us.
Who are we playing? Cheltenham, innit? 4-2. To us.
I think we're going to win 2-1. But it's going to be another terrible performance. It's going to be paper over the cracks.
I think. Let me ask you guys. Do we think it's still? Is it still where you don't have extra time and you go straight to penalties if it's a draw at full time? Anyone know? It is. Penalty win.
No extra time.
Penalty win after a 1-1 draw. There you go. That's my prediction.
Thrilling. Well, that I think concludes it. I mean, that was just depressing. Do you know what? I've got good news for you all. We've got another 17 league games of this shit to continue watching. Up the Poshcast.
Up the Poshcast.
Up the Poshcast.
Thank you all for listening. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Up the Poshcast. Let us know your feedback. Give us any ideas for topics you would like to discuss or any questions you'd like us to answer. Up the Poshcast. You know what? If only the fucking players put as much effort as we did, it is now fucking 10 o'clock on a Sunday night after we've been down to fucking Bristol watch a game and we're still doing this for our fucking supporters. Fuck you, players. Pull your fingers out.